Bibles for the rest of the time remaining this morning. Open your Bibles to Psalms 127. Psalms 127. And let's read the five verses. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children in the youth of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, come and instruct us from it. Write these truths upon our hearts, and that we might see the beauty of the truths that are there, so given to us in order for us to live lives that are blessed by you. Give great grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing that I want to point out to you this morning is this. What is the lesson that is here in this psalm that we just read? The first one is this. It is of absolute necessity for the Lord's involvement in all of man's endeavors. From A to Z, doesn't make any difference. Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord keep the city. It is the Lord that must be there from A to Z, whether it is building the house, whether it's building a city, whether it's building walls, whether it is education or business or family, career or church, it doesn't make any difference unless the Lord is part of it, in the middle of it. Man's endeavors are vain and empty, except the Lord build a house. The word Lord is Yahweh, which the self-existing one that we have, that we believe that the Lord gives us, he gives us with his names the attributes that he is. God told Moses to tell them, I am that I am. Or I'm the self-existent, uncreated one, meaning that I have always been and always be. He is the one that must be the one that is building the house. That he is the one that will keep the city. That will the one. He is the one that will watch and take care of it all. Of absolute necessity. Why is that the case? The second thing that we find in this passage, you know, he mentions it three times in the first two verses. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late. I don't know about you, but I don't like the idea of expending energy and effort on things, and then it's vain. And I like the German word for vain, and that word vain means umsonst. Umsonst means for naught. No reward, and no result, and no profit. In other words, that you work an effort and there is nothing at the end to show for. What do you think? I'm not sure whether I understand that, because the scripture says that where there is work, there is profit. Is that not a biblical principle? Yes, there is. It is a biblical principle, but we always must remember this, is that our effort and our endeavors in all that we do, whether it's building a house or a family or a city or a church or whatever it might be, that we always have that in mind with eternity in mind. We're not talking about building something for a temporary passing endeavor, because ultimately those efforts without Christ and without God will always fall short. I find very interesting, as I was studying this portion of Scripture, that when I looked at the title, it says, A Song of Degrees for Solomon. For Solomon. Then I began to do some investigating. Who wrote this psalm? There are some that said that maybe this psalm was written by David for Solomon. Or then there are others that are saying, well, it is a psalm that was written by Solomon, that it was composed by him. But whatever it was, I ultimately, when it comes right down to it, the message, whether for Solomon or by Solomon, the message that is here is absolutely true. I would like to give you some recommended reading for the next couple of weeks. How would you like to read a sermon that is in the Bible? 12 chapters. And the sermon is preached by, whether it is for Solomon or by Solomon, this verse of Scripture when he says, It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. In other words, that umsonst, without any kind of reward, and it is a sermon that is being preached, and the sermon is entitled, Vanities of Vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And it's the sermon that we entitled the book of Ecclesiastes. Anybody ever read that sermon? Those 12 chapters, Ecclesiastes. I remember the first time that I read the book of Ecclesiastes, this was like 30 years ago. And I'm reading this sermon and I'm looking at the sermon title. And as he says, vanities of vanities. And then he says, what profit had a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. And then I came to the end of that sermon, and that sermon we read these words, Vanities of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. I came away kind of discouraged. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever done something in an endeavor? I think we've all done that. We've all set out to do some things, and when it's all been said and done, it has been a great failure without any kind of profit or without any kind of reward. Anybody? I think we all have. And I don't like it. Or perhaps there have been some people that have persuaded you to invest in some endeavor that would have some long-reaching consequences for you to have all kinds of money into an account. You've given money to, and with the hope there's going to be a return, and months and years gone by, you've done investigating, well, we're still working on it, and anybody ever here? And then when it's all said and done, you found out that it was a scam, there was nothing there, and it was all empty, it was all in vain, it was a waste of time and energy, and that leaves in us an emptiness. But you see what Solomon is saying here in this sermon. As he came to the conclusion that all of the efforts, all of man's effort outside of Christ, outside of God, outside of the directives that we have in God's word, they are all vain and empty. All of it. I want you to know that. There is only one thing that has lasting consequences, and those are the consequences where the Lord Jesus is the builder of the house, where the Lord Jesus is the one that guards the city, where the Lord Jesus is a part of it, where God, you see, is in that, the I am, the self-existing one. He's the one that orders all of our steps. And so, God must be in the center. Parents, those of you that were standing up here on this platform this morning, and those of you that are sitting in the pews, everything that we do, that we learn from this psalm, It is vanity, the vanity of work without God, most certainly is going to be the case. And everything that we do, whether it's education and business, family, career, or church, the Lord must be the builder and the keeper of the city. He must be the one that's right in the middle of all of it. How do we do that? I was reminded of that. How do we do that? When I look at this portion and when I think about building and cities and all of that, don't we usually have an architect? Big construction that you drive up and there is a big plaque, that a big sign that will have the place what they're building. This is going to be the heart hospital of whatever, of St. John's. And then underneath that, you're going to have contractor, general contractor. And underneath that, you're going to have architects. And underneath that, you're going to have subcontractors and everybody else that's involved. How is the Lord the builder of the house? And how is he the keeper of the city in our lives where we are? I want you to know we have an architect too. And the architect, he is the one that has given us the blueprints and the plans. For an illustration, I'll give you one that the Lord Jesus gives at the end of the Sermon on the Mount when he says, and there in the Sermon on the Mount, he has really laid out the truths of his kingdom and the spirit and the heart of those who are members of his kingdom. And he comes to the conclusion and he sews it all up. He ties it all together. And he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Did you all happen to see this week on the news? Did anybody see on the news this week where this house, I don't know exactly where it is sitting on a cliff, and beneath it is I think it was a $1-point-some-odd million house. Huge mansion. The cliff gave away, and three-fourths of the house is still standing there. So what did they do with the rest of it? They set fire to it. They burned it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the hopes and the dreams of, here is our mansion and we're overlooking, we're on this cliff and we're looking over and we're seeing the water below and the ocean. I don't know what all is out there. I'm not sure where it was. But it was a steep cliff and this house was on there. Can you imagine standing there and saying, what do we need to do? Well, we need to somehow or another clean it up so that the best way for us to do, let's just set it to fire and burn it. The house that we want to build would be under the architect and the general contractor, the one who has the blueprints for our lives, none other than the Lord Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Is that not a wonderful thing? Parents, is that not a wonderful thing for you to teach your children? Here is what God has in mind for us. Here is what God has in mind for you. Here is what God has in mind as for us as parents and the responsibilities. Is that not a good thing? Or do we just simply live our lives on, are we the Googleites? Oh, that's a new word. We're the Googleites and we Google now. How should I respond to this and that in that situation? Then whatever it brings up, then I just do it that way. What do you think? Nonsense. The Lord Jesus said, who heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. And then he says, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat up on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded up on a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. That's how the Lord builds the house. That's how the Lord keeps the city. That's how the Lord keeps us, whether we are rising up early or setting up late. That's how the Lord gives us the grace and the wisdom and the judgment that we need. That's how he does it. Shall be likened, but he who heareth these sayings, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. What happens to them? Can we give testimony of that? All we have to do is open our eyes and look around. I want you to know, I was reflecting upon how I was raised and the family that I came from. And you talk about a sordid soap opera. Families and names of people and step people and stepfathers and this and that and divorce and all kinds of nonsense. But as I was reflecting of that, I was thinking this morning how merciful and gracious the Lord has been to me and my wife to give us a first generation of desire that the Lord is the builder of the house and the keeper of the city, and that he is the one that would order our sleep and our rising up and our going down, that he is the one that would order our lives. And what a blessedness for me to know and to see that I have the Lord by his grace reversed where I've come from and the destruction that I have seen and known in my own life and my own family. That I am a sinner saved by grace, and the Lord in his mercy and grace rescued in order that there would be a generation started with a desire to have the Lord, the builder and the keeper of the house and the city. That, what a marvelous thing. Don't forget that. We've got to remember that. And that from day one and from as you live your time, that you would say, Lord, this is the day that you have given. Let us be glad and rejoice in it, that today is a day, a new day of reference of your grace in my life. Now, Lord, will you guard, will you protect, will you keep all that I do in the name of Christ for my children and my family? Amen. You know, you can look around. Last week was the 20th anniversary of O.J. Simpson's trial. There's a little glimpse of all of the things that go on in the human heart, and the human heart is potential in all of it. Vain and empty. But more than that and worse than that, one of these days, all of these folks will have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And I want to say to you, how can they appear apart from the Lord Jesus Christ? What happens to those who do not have the Lord in the middle of there? The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat up on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, building a house and a household, I believe, in the third place this morning in our text, it's part, and what is part of a household are children. What does the word of the Lord say? Listen to me. Parents, would you memorize verses 3 and 4? Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And then verse 5, happy is the man that had his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. This is what God's word says about children. We have almost totally lost the value and the gift and the reward of children in our society. What do we do when a woman is expecting a baby? Oftentimes there is the discussion, well, what are you going to do? God forbid. Do you know what that little strafe is? Do you know what that Lucas is, and you know what that Wren is, and you know what Riley is, and what you know what all of these children are? They are not just simply about trouble and inconvenience. There are some parents that would say, I wish we'd have never had you, or the names that parents call their children. The abused and misused. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Inheritance. We're not talking about money here. Do you know there are parents that have multiple children, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. They may be poor people monetarily, but I want you to know, according to this passage, they are wealthy people. And we have a mentality in the Western world that somehow or another we have removed God out of, you see, building the city and guarding the city. We've taken God out of this whole childbearing program, and we've taken God out, and because of that, children lots of times are an inconvenience to our time and to my education and to my happiness and to my this and that, and we simply get rid of them. Children are a blessing, and they are his reward. I like the observation of Albert Barnes. Children are a heritage of the Lord. They are an inheritance derived from the Lord. They are bestowed by him as really a success in building a house or in guarding a city. Do y'all hear me? The idea is that everything which we value or which we desire is a gift from God, and it is to be received as from him and to acknowledge as his gift. The general idea here is in that previous verse is that of entire dependence upon God. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Or rather a reward, that is, they are of the nature of a reward for a life of devotion to God. Listen to me, families. Let's work very hard in educating our kids. Let's be there when they learn how to throw their first ball. But more than that, you remember that God, that life and that gift has been given that they might know the Lord Jesus and the true and the living God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? Because everything else is going to fail. Everything else is going to falter. All flesh is grass. And the beauty of it all is all going to wilt. But only that which is joined to the Lord Jesus has eternal value. And then he says, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. I want to say to you, husbands and wives, I know I'm going to step on some feet. Some of you have decided that here's how many children we're going to have. And you've just simply said, I'm going to order and dictate my own life. I want to say to you, the Lord is the Lord over the womb. Would you let God be God, and would you let him to be Lord over the womb, and would you bless him, let him bless you as he gives you and blesses your womb? We've simply come to the place as a society. Harry and Irina Gesera, the little couple in Germany, they have three children. In Germany, it's usually one child maximum. If somebody has two, they're considered large. They have three. His own parents have said, "Don't you know how to stop that? Or don't you have enough sense?" What is the Lord saying about children? Multitudes of children, those that have a quiver full, they are wealthy people. They are rich people because it is the Lord has blessed them. And who am I to say, "Don't you have enough sense? Don't you know how to stop that?" God forbid. This is what God's word says. You know, I have some grandsons. They understood this theology many years ago. You all have heard me say that. I've used this several times, but I'll never forget it. As we were sitting out there, I had three of my grandsons on the porch, and we were talking about the things of the Lord. I think it was the same time that I had talked about the fact a woman had died, and she was in her 70s, and she didn't know the Lord. And one of my grandsons said, "What? 70? And she didn't know the Lord?" That's how high his voice was. It's not that high anymore. And then in that conversation with those boys, I said, "I am a rich man." And one of them replied, "Papa, how much money do you have in the bank?" He asked that. And another one of those grandsons said, "He's not talking about money. He's talking about us. Out of mouths and babes and sucklings, thou ordainest strength." Calvary Baptist Church, if the Lord has given you children, what an awesome responsibility to raise them in the Lord. But yet at the same time, what gratitude it ought to bring out in our hearts that we ought to say, "We are rich people." Why? Because the Lord has the one, He is the one who has blessed the womb. The next psalm, and we'll be closing with that. The next psalm, Psalms 128, it says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." You see, Pastor, that's all Old Testament. What has that got to do with the New Testament? Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, Old and New Testament alike, period. The one who walks in his ways. And then he says, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands." Is that not the Lord building the house and blessing all of the efforts? And then look at verse 3. Listen to me. Underline it. "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round and about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." What do you think? I want to say to you, is the hands of God upon us? If that's the case, then we can prosperably build our houses and our families, and we'll be comfortable. How do I do that? The only way that we can do that is in Christ. I want you to know that. Unless the Lord keeps the city and builds the house, the I am. The Lord Jesus said, I am He. I am the one. And then the Lord Jesus said to us, if you hear my word and you do them, then you're going to be likened unto the man that built his house on a rock. How can we do that? As sinners. Let me tell you how we do. We come and we recognize, lost and undone we are, sinners we are. We want to be done with our own ways, with our own methods that spell nothing but vanity. I think we all, every one of us, we could probably sit down and write books of stuff that we've done in our own strength, in our own wisdom. Couldn't we? Like so much dust on a windy street and sand in the hand that all runs through empty. But we could always also testify of the fact, as we have sought to honor the Lord and His word, He has blessed our efforts. May that be the case with all of us. Let's pray.